Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And, of course, I'm Darian Marshall, your host. And, as always, I love my Mondays because I get a chance to interview people, learn things, and share some good news with you. Well, today the tables are turned, and I'm going to be the one being interviewed by my good friend Adonis Seldon. He's also a writer and a producer and all the good stuff that he does. He's going to share with us in a minute. And we're going to talk about my new book that's been released about a month ago. It's called Today You Forgive Me, What About Tomorrow? And the subtitle is Living the Fabulous Life Through Forgiveness. So we're just going to have a little discussion just to get things started and find out what we're going to do in the future when it comes to the book. So welcome to the show, Adonis. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine today.
Oh,
how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with me. I know you got lots of stuff to do.
Yes. I was today early. I mean, I was trying to finish reading my book, The Alchemist. I'm almost actually done that, so that's good. And trying to catch up with my writing. So yeah, everything's working out pretty well, though. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did you like that book? I remember you told me you were going to read it.
Yeah, I'm almost finished
sure.
the book, and it's like, I think for the right type of person, it can be a real life-changing experience.
Mm-hmm.
For the right type of person, though.
But you know the funny thing? I read it and telling everybody to read it. I still don't know what that book was about. I mean, what was it about?
I mean,
changing
think like a lot of books in this way, because it comes off as being part fiction, part fantasy, part myth, and even folklore. I mean, I think each individual person has to take and read the book and figure out what it means to them individually.
Yeah.
So I think, like the book and like the protagonist in the story, the boy goes on a journey to find his treasure. And I think that's true to real life in some extent. Like, most people have to find their right path in life and try to find their right way to do things and find their treasure, whatever that may be. Money, politics, it doesn't really matter, but it's a really good read. So, you know, if you haven't read it or you haven't finished reading it, then you should definitely get back to it, because it's really good.
Because, you know, Will Smith, he swears by that book, and he's got a lot of other celebrities reading it. You know, he's all about that stuff too. So yeah, so now we're going to talk about Today You Forgive Me, What About Tomorrow? So take it away, Adonis.
Well, I mean, congrats on your new book.
Thanks.
Another new book, your third book. I'm still working on my first. But, I think one of the first things I want to start off with today is this is not your first book, obviously. And the first book took you a while to write, and this is now your third. So how do you feel just working on this book, this third piece of work, compared to your first? How different was that compared to the first one?
That, man, that's an excellent question, because you remember I was whining like a big baby, because most of you are listening, you know that the first two books I wrote with my best friend Darius Jones. He's also an author. He's a life coach as well. But this was the first book I had the chance to write alone, and I was scared. I was waking up at night. I was calling people whining, and I've even had friends say, you know, I don't know why you're carrying on the way you carry on. You get all excited about stuff, and then you end up doing it anyway. Because, you know, my dad said that to me once. He said, you know, you crack me up. You're always talking about how scared you are, but then you end up doing what you want to do anyway. So, yeah, it was an exciting thing. I kept putting it off. I kept, you know, if I would sit down to get ready to write it, all of a sudden I want to sweep the patio, or I had a phone call to make, or I wanted to take a bath, you know, anything just to keep from doing it. But finally, I said, you know, you got to do it. You're going to go crazy if you don't. So just get down and start doing it. And once I sat down and got started, it was amazing how things were just pouring out of me. And I tend to be a night owl anyway. And I don't go to bed until like 2. So I'm up late at night, and I decided to just get into it. And I'm telling you, it was like the floodgates opened.
Yeah, it's usually a good time for me to write as well. Like at night, I'm a very nocturnal creature anyway, but I think at night, for some reason, I think the blood just flows in my brain.
Yeah.
You know, because I think during the day, we're attuned to having a set schedule, like many other people. even though we're not in the traditional sense of having a set schedule like 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
I think we're kind of caught up in that world during the day.
Yep.
So I think at night for me, yeah, like you said, it's much better for
mm-hmm.
me to write something at night, you know, do something artistically at night. Because the house is quieter.
Yeah.
You know, things seem to be a little more calm.
Now, if you made me work at night, now it'd be a different story.
Yeah, that's like you have to go out in the snow and
right.
rain. You know.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. Okay. Subheading reads Living a Fabulous Life Through Forgiveness. And I want to ask you, can we really expect to live a fabulous life by reading this book?
Yeah, I know it sounds a little arrogant, but the principles in the book, you really can if you apply it. Initially, it doesn't seem like it. Like I said, if you just learn to forgive people and all these wonderful things will happen in your life. It sounds kind of corny, really, and you know when you listen to it that way. But after a lot of people don't know that I actually studied something called New Thought or Consciousness
mm-hmm.
for 3.5 years.
Okay.
So it was like university. I mean, we had papers to write. Part of what we had to do, we had
that
to
sounds
actually,
like fun.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it really was fun, though. It really was, if you're into that kind
yeah.
of thing. Because we even had to go sit in, like, Narcotics Anonymous or AA meetings.
Yes, you did tell me.
Right?
You didn't mention it. Yeah.
And not tell anybody why you're there. So in order to learn non-judgment and all that kind of thing. So that went on for about 3.5 years. So once I studied that and passed it, I don't know, somehow I just decided to really pay attention to my life and just look at what I was doing
mm-hmm.
and just look at the results of my life, like when I did forgive people for things, what happened. But when I held grudges and was nasty to people over a period of time, what mm-hmm. happened after that? So I just started, in a sense, taking notes. And, you know, and I started to realize, you know, there is a benefit to forgiving people. It does sort of open up your life in a certain way. I don't know, even your sleep is better.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of, I think you have to just let go of things.
Yeah.
You just have to let go.
You really do.
Because I look at people, probably some family members of mine, you know, and it's just like, well, you let it go. It's not that deep
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, with any two people, and let's say they had an argument, and let's say, you know, the end of their friendship or their relationship. And I think sometimes you really have to let go because, you know, the other party could have let go and don't even care anymore, and you're still holding on to whatever
mm-hmm.
you're living the present with.
Yes.
So it's just not good either way.
No.
So, you know, and I really do take that to heart.
But it's funny you said that. Oprah used to talk about that, about how she would be mad at these women or something, and she kept holding grudges, and one day she saw them just at the mall laughing and just buying stuff, hanging out with each other. And the people weren't even thinking about her,
yeah.
you know. She realized, man, I'm carrying this around, and these people aren't even worrying about me, so I got to let it go.
Yeah.
It was something I was going to say when you were mentioning that earlier, which was an excellent point about just letting things go.
Well, please don't quote anything from the movie Frozen, because it's kind of like that was a crappy Disney movie. So I just don't want to talk about that. But we have to let that one go. Okay.
Yeah. But that's a good point you made. Matter of fact, that's a theme all the way through the book, like really letting things go. Like I used to say to people, oh, please, I've forgiven that. I've let it go. Is that the way I say?
Mm-hmm.
I've let it go, and I've listened to a lot of people say, you know, just forgive and forget. You know, religious people and all that. But then I would notice that when that person that they were angry with
mm-hmm.
was present, or the name came up, I could see the face of that person just change. Like, oh yeah, like they would think about what they did like 3,000 years ago, you know. And I was like, well, did you really let that go?
Yeah.
Or are you just saying it to be cute in front of people, you know? And I found myself like that, you know, because I wrote the book, but I found out I was really writing it for myself first.
Okay.
That didn't hit me until later, and then I realized maybe other people could use it too.
Yeah, I think if you're being phony about letting something go, I think that's actually worse.
Oh, it is.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to – do you know how much energy it takes for you to be phony? I mean, it's just ridiculous how people live in the world of smoke and mirrors. It takes a lot of energy to live up to that illusion. because it's like you have to put in energy for that and whatever energy you're not constantly thinking of,
right,
about not letting go of your past. You have to.
Yes.
It's the only way you're going to move forward.
You last a lot of work.
I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, you're not getting paid for it. I mean, my
right.
thing is, like, at least get paid for it.
Oh, yeah, I can hold grudges all day if you want to pay me.
Yeah, and it goes to, you know, a lot of things you talk about over the years. It goes to actually, you know, you carry that same thing about change your thinking, change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to also ask and go on with, do you ever have some type of spiritual awakening or something, or, you know, some sort of dream or vision, you know? How did you learn the things that came into being for you?
It's funny you said that. I used to feel bad because people like, there's like Wayne Dyer and this is other guy, Eckhart Tolle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the other man. What's his name? The Conversations with God guy, Neil Donald Walsh.
Okay.
They all had those little epiphanies, like late night they heard voices and somebody saw an angel's face in the trash can. So it's all this little weird stuff, you know. And I would feel bad because I didn't have anything like that. You know, no voices came to me, no kind of, you know. So I thought I was a bit phony. But as I mentioned earlier, I just decided to just start looking at my life and paying attention to things. And I noticed how people lived, even within my own family, like certain ones, nothing seemed to work out right for them for some reason.
Okay.
I mean, no matter how hard they tried, relationships, jobs, nothing. And then you got other people, my God, all they do is just think, you know, I think I'll start a business selling shoelaces and a thing, they end up making millions of dollars off of shoelaces. Yeah. Well, why is it working like this on this person and then working like that on somebody? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And, I just started looking at life and, I don't know, then a desire to share that with other people began to grow. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
I mean, actually, the funny thing is it touches on the alchemist a whole lot. You know, you're in the world of people making positive life changes and not living in the past, living in the present and trying to, you know, satisfy what they need in life. And I think a lot of that is in the undercurrents of the alchemist. So, again, I guess I'm marketing for you to read the book. Because this is a really – and what I like about the book, this hasn't come across to me in a very long time, is that the alchemist is a very fluid read. And like, when I pick up a book many times, I mean, so many times, even the classics, I'm like, oh, gosh, just like, will this page, chapter ever end? I was just like, I can't read anymore. Even if it's a good story, you're kind of like – I got to take a break, walk away from it, you know, and you come back to it. But The Alchemist is like, I started this literally a day or two ago on top of other things I'm doing, and I'm like 40 pages to the end of the book.
Oh, wow.
So it's not and it's not a very long book, but still, it's not a book that will bore you. It's a very fluid, smooth book, and it teaches, like I said, a lot of these life lessons on, you know, changing your way or finding your true, you know, treasure in life, like the alchemist does, like finding your true self, moving on. A lot of themes, which is, you know, correlated in your work. So,
yeah, that's one of the reasons why the chapters are kind of short. I think one or two chapters might be kind of long, but most of them are pretty short.
Because
my sister, God bless her, she read my first two books in the bathroom because she said she literally kept it on top of the toilet tank.
Yeah.
And she would just go to the bathroom and read like a page at a time, and she got through both of them, really. Because I always hated the fact that, because I have some books here like that, teachers who would write, like, encyclopedias in order to learn something. I don't want to have to read
big. Like, it's funny because I have two authors in mind, whom I both read, but one more than the other. And James Patterson, you know, the well-known novelist, like his stories are written in, I think, just about all his books, maybe several pages long. So I guess to the readers, kind of like, listen, you're not going to read, we're not reading Tolstoy's War and Peace. We need to break this down a little bit. Not to say people who read short chapters and books are less academically driven to read longer things. It's just the fact people's attention spans are different. when reading. But you could take a book like James Patterson and have short chapters, which I love too, as long as it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And take one of my favorite authors, fiction fantasy writers, Ursula Le Guin,
mm-hmm.
if people know her. Look her up. She's really good. But she's been around for decades, and it's like, if I read one of her novels, I think I need at least a master's degree or PhD, because it's not anything wrong with her writing. It's just the fact that expect the unexpected, you know, basically. So I'm glad that at least you know what you want to write in terms of knowing your audience.
Mm-hmm.
That does, you know, go a long way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I remember that time you kind of get on me sometime, because it was hard for me to consider myself a real writer, because because you're writing actually a novel. So you have characters and people.
I remember that book I wrote. Yeah, I do have those things.
I mean, that's great, though. Because remember, I got in trouble with, not in trouble, but Miss Collins, my English teacher, because I did the same thing they did on that Urkel show.
Okay.
Remember that little girl went upstairs,
and
she never came back down. That girl. Well, I did something. Somehow, either the grandmother or somebody in the story that I wrote went to the kitchen,
okay,
and never came. I totally forgot about her by the time the story was over. You know, so I always just felt like I wasn't really a real writer like you guys who have characters and. You're developing all kinds.
Well, there's different types of writers, but I mean, I say anyone's a real writer who continuously, you know, follows their path.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I mean, one would say, maybe someone in theoretical physics would say, well, he's not a real writer. He's not a real writer if he doesn't write science or stuff
right.
like that. So I mean, it's all subjective.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know if I could write a self-help. Or it's something along in your genre. So who's to say what's a real writer or not? So.
No, it kind of reminds me of what we were saying the other day, the whole Rest in Peace Prince,
mm-hmm.
and people were comparing him to Michael Jackson. But they're two different, you know what I mean? They're entertainers, but Michael couldn't do what Prince did, and Prince could not do what Michael did. They're two completely different type of entertainment.
I mean, I was telling my mother this other day, and she said, well, you know, one was this, one was that. But I'll say that, and that's true, but Michael Jackson was considered like the neat, clean one. I guess they were both popular in their own right,
mm-hmm.
but Michael Jackson was always considered the neat one, the safe one to go to if you
right.
listen to his music years ago, back in the day. And Prince was considered, oh my gosh, he's Satan, talking about this type of. I mean, if you read his lyrics and you know how his music is, he was considered off limits to a lot of kids.
He was nasty, and I love Prince. I love him. He was nasty.
So. Yeah, I mean, in their own right, they were very different.
Mm-hmm.
But they were both awesome artists.
Yeah.
We lost them within 6 years of each other, basically.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson died in 2009, and Prince just passed. And it's like, you know, they were both, you know, greats in their own right, but very different.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Know? That's right.
So, I mean, moving on, I want to discuss, actually, your first two books,
mm-hmm.
which you co-wrote with your best friend, Darius Jones. I want to ask you, what made you decide to go solo and in the writing of this particular book, your third book?
Well, it was kind of weird because we were business partners, really,
mm-hmm.
and we had a little record label, and we worked with artists and stuff like that. But I have to be honest, even though it felt fulfilling and I loved the people, they got on my nerves. They really did. The only one who really... he was our first artist, Quay. He was really, he had that artist thing down. He really knew what it was to be a recording artist. He was very flexible where he could do a song that was kind of sexy, but he could literally sing for a church group and just like that, off the cuff, just change all the words that would fit the church group and still keep the beat and have the people jumping around, dancing. Same song, all twisted around. But a lot of the other artists weren't like that. They were so strict. this is the way the song is, and that's the way it's going to be, because I'm an artist. You know, they were getting like that. But Quay was right. He just knew what he was doing.
Like, he's very versatile.
He
like, gifted.
Yeah.
Like, in that sense of you can change up.
Yes.
You're basically a genre or style. Like
yes.
That. So, yeah, that's really a good.
He really knew what he was doing. And we had another guy, Unique, who he was good, too, and in a different way, because Unique knew how to produce music.
Okay.
It was ridiculous to watch him in the studio, just the way he came up with certain sounds and things like that. So, almost like Prince and Michael Jackson, they were two different people who were really great in their own little. How'd you say? I like the way you said it, in their own rights.
Yeah, I mean, you're great in your own right. I mean, you like to me, the only comparison or the only likeness I think they had is like they were real musicians.
Yeah.
They were about the art.
Yes.
And that's the only likeness, I think, at the root of it, that I would say.
Yes.
They were about the work and the art.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that. But you listen to one of your they're totally different artists.
Right.
You know?
But they were the two that, and not just, I mean, I loved all the people we worked with, but they were the only two that I actually look forward. Like, if we knew Thursday we would be working with either one of them, I would feel like, I'm excited about Thursday coming. We're going in the studio. The other ones were a little more challenging to me, you know, although they were good as well. But, yeah, those two were, you know.
Well, I didn't realize you knew Michael Jackson and Prince.
Oh.
I mean, okay, your friend Quake, you know, I'm
so sorry. You're crazy. But they were good. Oh, but you did ask me. I tend to talk and stuff just comes to my mind and start running my mouth. But,
no, that was a good back exposition, good background. But, I mean, like, how was it working solo on this particular book? Rather than working with your best friend, like you started out with.
Right, when I actually finished it, I felt, I'm 5'9", I felt like I was like 10 feet tall when I was finished, because it's like I really did it, because all through it, I just kept saying, man, if I wanted to call Darius to ask him something, and I wanted to, because that's the way we worked together. On days when I was kind of weak and feeling insecure about myself, He held up the slack.
Okay.
He could be, but then there were days when he was saying like, I really don't feel like this. I'm scared to go out there on this interview. People are looking at us, and then I would get him pumped up, and we would pray together, all that kind of thing. So now, you know, writing this last one, I didn't have any of that, and I had to just go within. Really, I had to apply all that stuff that I was writing and my public speaking, all that crap. Not crap, but it was crap at the time when I said to myself, look, you need to apply what you're teaching, you know, practice your. So I applied all of that to myself, and I said, wow, you know, this stuff really does work.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I was going to write a book with that title, This Stuff Really Works. Right, maybe that's later down the line.
Well, hopefully it did, because you have to get rid of the title, so that went over.
But, yeah, it helped me grow a lot. And I had a session with an intuitive reader.
Mm-hmm.
Not a psychic. They're different. I think intuitive readers, they can look at your face and feel energies coming out. I forgot how she explained it to me, but she just ran it all down. And she even told me, she says, I want you to understand that what fell apart had to fall apart.
Okay.
Or you would not be able to move on and get to where you really need to go.
Okay.
Or, as she put it, to become your greater yet to be. Gave me chills when she said it. But, it's like it just had
to. You know, all these famous people, Michael Jackson and
Prince.
I know, because it's like the intuitive reader obviously is the Oracle from The Matrix. I mean, seriously. But anyway, I'm glad you've known her before she passed away.
Right. You're crazy.
No, but it's good to have someone who can really guide you in the process. And I'm someone even like Oprah or Bill Gates or someone we know who is a philanthropist in the world and who gives to people, wants to share their knowledge to people, you know, and express that in a way where they can achieve their goals too. I'm sure they want to share it with other people. So it's always like, even people like that have already made it, they require the same
Yep.
help Like we would.
Yes, right.
Everyone requires help. You cannot do it. Like, I mean, this is what Oprah says. I'm sure she, you know, honed this from Maya Angelou. You cannot do it by yourself. At any point in time, you can't. It's impossible.
It's funny you brought up Maya Angelou. I mentioned her quite a few times in the book. In the chapter, Can You Forgive and Forget? I talk about in that book what that really means, and a lot, because I give examples on how there are things that happened to us years ago that we never forget. Because I give the story of how, I don't know the age you are when you're still wearing diapers, but you're changing over to training underwear. Is that three?
That's two or three? Around three. Right.
Well, I remember this like it happened yesterday. My mother was changing me, and I peed in her face. And she and my dad laughed about it. Now, if that happened today, it wouldn't be funny, but back then it was cute. You know, it was
a
little baby.
I would wonder why they're changing your diaper now, but that's a whole other issue that we will discuss on the next show, Pop.
That's lying on the table. But the point in the chapter was that we really don't forget things that happen.
No.
Especially if somebody does something wrong to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to remember. But what does forgiving and forgetting mean? It just means you're not going to keep bringing it up. Excuse me. Every time you see that person or you get into a disagreement, you know, sometimes you bring up something.
Yeah.
You're talking about maybe using my car without permission. And I say, well, that's like 10 years ago when you borrowed that suit. And I told you to leave it alone. And now you got, you know, peanut butter all over it or something. And you just keep bringing it up over and over. And that's really what forgiving and forgetting means. It's just that you don't keep bringing it up and holding that person for that. And, again, you asked me a question, and I went on off.
No, actually, it was fine. You actually were fine.
I don't even remember what you
asked. No, the question was, why'd you basically go solo in writing this book?
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I mean, you answered it in a well-rounded way.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
So you said you had to move on. You did say you had to move on.
Yeah, and see, Darius, in the religion that we grew up in, they didn't encourage you to go to college.
Okay, was that Jehovah's Witness?
Right, it wasn't because they were just being mean, evil people. They really believed the end was coming, and it was sort of like the example they would always use is, why would you apply for a job at a company that's going out of business?
Okay.
So they would, you know, use that, but Tom, we're still here. Nothing came on, I'm getting gone. So they've changed the rules around a little bit now. Now they're encouraging people that you do need more than a high school education if you want to really, you know.
Yeah.
So now he wanted to go back and do that. So he went to college and he graduated, and he decided to take it all the way to the end now. So, yeah, so we both had different paths that we were taking, and,
okay,
so
and
we blessed each other. Yeah, and
I mean,
it was great.
People think it's a bad thing when friends move because of a job, or is it not even a job, because of it's their life goal. I said, no, this is something they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is something they've been working on for a very long time.
And we support each other. You know, he congratulated me on the book, and I was there at his graduation, so yeah.
Okay. And speaking of moving on or moving forward with your new work, like, what are some of the upcoming plans you have for getting the word out about this new book?
Okay, well, one of the things that intuitive reader told me, she said, don't be afraid to go to the major radio stations and get on those shows. Don't just stick to the smaller things. I'm in the process of creating a class around that book.
Okay.
So that, and setting it up so that even people who don't know me, say they're in California or whatever, they could read through it and know how to present the class to people.
Okay.
So they won't need me there. So that's, right now, that's the thing that's on the table right now.
Okay. That's a work in progress. That's just something that just started. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, and I'm trying to get in the hands of as many people as I possibly can, but that is the beginning, creating that class, and, you know, oh, my God, what time is it? Ooh, 56 seconds. Time is flying.
Yes. We should have had an hour show today, but,
Of course. I knew that was going to happen. We start talking now that thing is running out.
Okay.
But,
thank you for your insight. Thank you for, you know, your friendship, because I still have known you since, what, the late 90s, and you're still going strong with your goals. But thank you for, you know, having this with me. But this is a good opportunity, and it's nice to be in the presence of you once again.
Oh,
with another
man.
New book, which I'm still working on mine.
Which is a novel, that's it. Yeah. But no, for you, and thank you so much for joining me. Because I was going to try and do it alone, which would have been kind of silly.
Yeah.
Just talking to myself about what I'm doing, so... This really worked. You're really good at it, too, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, that's it. So thanks, guys, for listening, and I look forward to being with you next week with another fabulous guest. So you've been listening to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.